So we have been talking about finding God in the world. We know that God is present in this world, that God is active and alive for us to see and to enjoy in this world around us. We continue this week exploring how God might be present, not only in those moments when things are going really well with us, but in every single situation and all circumstances. Our scripture this week is from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is one of the more difficult scriptures for us in the New Testament. In these just seven verses here, there's eight commands instructing us on the way that we're supposed to live the Christian life. With the many challenges that we face in this life, we're supposed to rejoice always, to give thanks, to pray without ceasing. It not only seems demanding of us, but almost impractical. But these are the instructions for us. This is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus for you, it says in our scripture. In the early church, when these words were written, the people were struggling to live as Christians, so close and involved with the Roman Empire. It was a challenge for them, as it is for us, to try to follow in the way of Jesus while not everyone around us in this life is doing the same. While the scripture contains challenging words for us about what the Christian life looks like, it's more than that. As it was for the early church, it's really encouragement for us. It's giving us the tools to use as we seek to live life in Christ. And ultimately, it's God's will for us. And God's will for us is good. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. In each of these commands, it's a reminder to us that the Christian life, it's not just about our mood at any one time or another. It's not just about how we feel. We want to be passionate about our faith. We want to be happy in life and love God. But it's clear in our scripture that we're called into something deeper than our mood and our surface emotions. I went to Nicaragua a few years ago, and the poverty in many parts of Central America is really staggering. The people struggle to get work, to sustain their lives, to feed their families, and to survive. One of the first days I was there, we had gone around and we talked to several families throughout the little village, and we saw their struggles. We saw their wobbly little homes. And that night, we went to church in town in a nice brick building that some mission group built at some point. And there was a band on stage, not unlike ours, and a sound system that was turned up way too loud. And I'm pretty used to loud music. I know that we play, you know, pretty loud. But this little church with this sound system bouncing off the brick walls, it wasn't too long, and I literally was going like this. It was painful. They were rejoicing a little too loud. Too loud of rejoicing for me. It was many of those same families that we had met earlier in the day that came to worship. Tired mothers holding their babies with two or three or more other children to their side. Older women in the front rows lifting their weary hands in praise of God. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. We're called into something deeper than what's on the surface of our hearts, but something buried further down deep, rooted in God's love for us. As opposed to giving thanks or praising God just when things are going well, instead of praying just when we're really thankful or when we're really desperate, we give thanks in all things. Pray without ceasing, our scripture says. Especially in the last couple of years since we've started to try to figure out how to raise a kid and not screw her up, you know, not too bad. We've been trying to be intentional about praying at certain times. So we try to pray at bedtime and at the dinner table. Before we had a kid around, oftentimes we'd sit down at the table and Stephanie would say something like, "Are you thankful in your heart?" And then we'd, you know, dig in. In our scripture today, it challenges us to pray without ceasing. This is a different kind of prayer, I think. Praying without ceasing is a kind of praying beyond these kind of set prayers that we pray at certain times. Richard Foster is a leader in the world of Christian spirituality. And in his book, The Celebration of Discipline, he says that once we kind of set aside specific times for prayer, at the same time, we must also guard against the notion that to do certain religious acts at particular times means that then we are finally praying. Instead, prayer involves all of life. It's a 24-hour-a-day job. Prayer is a way of life, he says. Pray without ceasing. I've heard prayer defined as something like conscious contact with God. Consciously throughout the day, your day being aware, awake to God present with us and connecting with God. Praying without ceasing is our instruction to take us deeper into the Christian life. This is God's will for us, and God's will for us is good. When we pray, as any one of us can likely attest to, God is present. God is with us. If we're seeking to find God in this world, a good place to start is in prayer. In prayer, God gives himself to us wherever we are. If we are praying without ceasing, it should be clear that God is near to us in this world. In college, there was a guy who just seemed really, really nice, way too nice, and happy basically all of the time. And for some reason, I don't know why, but it was a little annoying to me. He was just too happy. And I assumed he had to just be putting on a face. One night we were hanging out, and in not one of my finest moments in my life, I talked to him and I admitted my feelings of annoyance about it. And we talked, and he talked about why he was the way he was. And he wasn't faking it all that time. He wasn't just happy, he was joyful because of something. He was joyful because of something. He was joyfully grateful for God and God's love. That was just his face. So I quickly went from annoyance to admiration for this man. I've known a few of these kinds of people in my life, that kind of person who just seems to glow, to radiate that something beautiful about them. And in about every case, it seems it's because they are people deeply connected to something beyond themselves, because they have taken seriously this kind of advice from our scripture to dig deeper beyond the shallow tip of our emotions and hold on tightly to the love of God. It's when we can really begin to live into this advice, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances. It's then that we can really maybe have prepared ourselves to be able to find God wherever we are in all kinds of circumstances, no matter what we face. During the Second World War, a woman named Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were imprisoned by the Nazis. Their family had been hiding Jews for safety, and so they were forced into prison. Corrie and Betsy were kept at a couple of different prison camps until they were finally taken to a camp called Ravensbrück, which was one of the most notorious death camps in Germany. At Ravensbrück, Corrie and her sister were crammed into barracks that were overflowing with women. They were forced to sleep on straw on a kind of bunk bed of platform of beds among dozens of other women crowded together. as the two of them laid there down to sleep that first night, they felt something on their legs. They realized that it was fleas, all kinds of fleas swarming around them and biting them. Horrible, horrible living conditions. Cori turned to her sister that first night, and in desperation, she said, "How can we ever live in such a place?" But Betsy was still hopeful. And she looked at her sister and said, "God has shown us how. God has shown us how. It was right there in the Bible this morning. Don't you remember?" And so Betsy pulled out the Bible that they had somehow managed to keep possession of. And she said, here, read it. Read it for yourself. It's in 1 Thessalonians. And so with the dim light that was streaming through the windows, Cori opened the Bible and began to read. It says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." As Cori read, Betsy interrupted her and said, "That's it, that's God's answer, give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. And we can start now. We can thank God for every single thing about these barracks that we're living in." And Cori just kind of stared at her, because the thought of what she was suggesting sounded unreasonable, crazy even. But Betsy began, "We should thank God for the fact that we were assigned to these same barracks so that we can be together. We should thank God that we still have this Bible. We should thank God for all of these women who are here with us. We should thank God for the fleas." And while Cori objected to that last part of thanking God, even with the fleas and all, Betsy persisted. And so lying there on the straw in that prison camp, the two women gave thanks to God, fleas and all. Cori later wrote in her book called The Hiding Place about all these events and recounted about the enduring faith of her sister, that through all the suffering that they experienced there, she kept on hopefully. Cori survived to tell her story, but Betsy died in the camp there. Shortly before Betsy died, she told Cori something significant for us, I think. She said, "We must tell people that there is no pit. There's no pit that's deeper than God's love. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still," she said. "And they will believe us because we have been here. There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." In Romans 8, it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus. Neither life nor death, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth or anything else will be able to separate us from the love of God. God's love is great and wide. Nothing can separate us from God's love. So in our day-to-day life, in every circumstance, we don't have to look far. God and God's love is here with us. God's love is ready to bless us, to empower us. And so in all things, we rejoice. We rejoice always. We pray without ceasing. We give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Amen. Well, those who are serving communion, please come forward.